Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I want to welcome you that are here and for those watching this broadcast to this edition of Let the Bible Speak. We're going to pray, going to ask the Lord for His blessing upon our meeting this evening. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the one true God, Jehovah. We thank Thee for salvation and redemption that's found in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that today Thou art the sovereign God, Thou art the reigning and the true God. Lord, we thank Thee that we're not coming to a God of wood or a God of stone, but the living God who sits upon the throne of glory. And Lord, we pray that tonight You would be our portion, that You would give our brother, the Reverend Salt, help from above as he would preach the things of God. And Heavenly Father, give help to us even as we sing the praises of Zion. Lord, be with us tonight. Pour out Thy Spirit. Save souls through the broadcast we ask of Thee. For we pray this in Jesus' all-precious and all-worthy name. Amen. We're turning for our scripture reading tonight in the Lord's Word to 1 Samuel and the chapter 27. And we'll be reading from verses 1 through to verse 7. 1 Samuel 27, verses 1 to 7. God's Word says, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place and some time in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious inspired word tonight. Our next hymn is the hymn 557. When you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound. Nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad. All is despairing, even times sad. The hymn writer gives us the wise sage counsel. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. We're going to stand as we sing this hymn, the hymn 557.
Oh, My text is 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1, and it says in that verse, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." David was a warrior for the Lord, and in many ways he was an example of a faithful servant of the Lord. If you study his life up to this moment in time, he could not be affected by envy. He was not overcome by selfish ambition. He did not succumb to laziness. He certainly was not taken down by harsh words. But in verse 1 of this chapter, we see David brought right down by discouragement. If you look at the verse there, you will see that this discouragement, it has him on the run. And now, looking over his shoulder, he flees right down to the Philistines' heartland. And ladies and gentlemen, as you and I are aware, discouragement is perhaps the greatest weapon in the devil's arsenal. And he will use it very often to do with you and I, if he can, exactly what he did with David all those years ago. When you look at him now at the beginning of chapter 27, the bravery that he displayed is gone. His leaning upon God is not evident anymore. He was a motivator of men. He was a lifter up of his friends. He was one who set an example that was worthy to be followed. And all of that has vanished now. And he really is seeking for an easy way out. Now, we could be just speaking just now to someone, and you are suffering from discouragement. It is something that will afflict every believer. And sometimes, in spite of our very best action and our faithfulness and our endeavor to stay close to the Lord, discouragement will come along anyway. But on this occasion, David could have avoided this situation, this episode in his life. And I trust, as I draw your attention to it for a little while, that what I say will help you when you feel that discouragement is coming your way. So I want to look at, with you at tracing the path of discouragement. Tracing the path of discouragement. I want to say first of all that David didn't prioritize correctly. He was a man who very often in his experience was able to get things and to see things in perspective, but not this time. And in addition to Saul's relentless pursuit of him, David here had been let down by friends. The Ziphites were of his tribe, but nevertheless, on this occasion, on two occasions, they had revealed his hiding place to King Saul. And that inevitably was a bitter pill for David to swallow. He talks over there in the Psalm number 41 about this kind of situation, and he says in verse 9, "Yea, mine own familiar friend," or as the word familiar there means, "the man of my peace, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up or magnified his heel against me." As he looks around him now, there doesn't seem to be many that he can rely on. But there was something else here in his priorities. There was the material reduction. David had lived quite comfortably. And now with Saul hunting him continually, he was living very often like a fugitive. And he was seeing that there was a very big reduction in his material well-being. And brethren and sisters, sometimes following the Lord faithfully costs you. And I wonder, is there someone listening to me just now and your integrity is costing you? Your integrity is costing you. There was something else here with David. Not only did he seem to have few friends and his material reduction was something he had his eye upon, but there was the falsehood that was associated with the one who was pursuing him.
Sometimes Saul liked to come across as a man who was sentimental, and he even was emotional sometimes when he talked about God, and he seemed to have a soft heart, but all along he was a man who could not be trusted. And dear believer, the world is a broken place, and if you seek to live sincerely for the Lord, then you will be a target, because the devil will seek to come along and to capitalize upon discouragement, that thing which is so common to so many of God's people. A person may be, generally speaking, a cheerful believer that lives in victory. Well, you're the very person that wants to watch out, because the devil will be on your trail. You look at David here, and you're tracing the path to discouragement or of discouragement. First of all, he didn't prioritize correctly. He got his eyes upon everything that was happening around him. But we can say, secondly, that he did not perceive correctly. He's thinking a lot now about people. And if you look in verse 3 of this chapter 27, it says there, "And David dwelt with Achish and Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife." Those 600 who had been faithful to David and had stood by him, they now seem now to have faded into insignificance. And he is rubbing shoulders with those who are notable and powerful people. He's with Achish in the royal city of Gath. He didn't perceive correctly the situation. But there's not just people here in this situation. There was provision. Do you remember we said that he was basically living like a fugitive many days when Saul was on his trail? Well, if you look there in verse 8 and verse 9 of the chapter, you will see there in verse 8, "And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as I goes to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive." And then here's what he got. "And took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish." Now we see the end in his mind of his worry about material things. And folks, if we forsake the will of God to prosper in what the world has to offer, then there will be a spiritual price to pay. And the Lord Jesus sent a message there to what were real Christian churches in the book of Revelation and chapter 3. We're looking here at the church and he said of the Laodiceans. He says in verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You can get the picture here. David now has come from having few friends, it seems, to being right up there with Achish and his nobles, and also a man who didn't have very much when he was on the run. He has now the more than he could possibly wish for. And I asked you just now, does discouragement ever whisper to you, do this, or go here, or handle things this way, and things will be better? Well, think of Naomi in the book of Ruth, and how she left her homeland and went with her husband. And from Naomi left her homeland, it was always a lose-lose situation. And she became a broken woman. Things seemed so much better in other places. But she was a broken woman and recognized that eventually that she did not perceive things correctly. And that's exactly how it was here with King David. If you look in verse 10, it says there, that's chapter 27 in 1 Samuel, "And David and Achish said, Whither have ye made a road today? And David said, Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, Lest they should tell on us, saying, So did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. David here, actually, some of the people that he annihilated were friends of the Philistines. So he was deceitful in his wording of his answer to Achish. There's a man over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and he is called Asa. And he did a great work for the Lord and was greatly used of the Lord. And in chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles, we see him here at the height of his faithfulness to the Lord, relying upon him and looking to him. Come chapter 15, and there's a servant of the Lord, Azariah, says to Asa, or Asa, if you seek him, that is the Lord, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. All seemed good, and there didn't seem any real possibility that Asa would have changed. But when you get over to chapter 16, and you see here at the beginning of the chapter that in verse 2, his heart has wandered, because in order to bribe a man to stand with him, he's brought items out of the house of the Lord. And you will see here that he's seeking to persuade Ben-Hadad to side with him. And that happened. And Asa, just like David, thought he was on the crest of the wave. But folks, his perception was all wrong. It says there, and these are words from Nathan, or Sarah Hanani, the seer to Asa, says there in verse 7, 2 Chronicles 16, that thou hast not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. He forfeited a great success by turning away from the Lord and relying on man. You go right down to verse 10 of that chapter. It says, and Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. What a tremendous change there was. He became discouraged when he saw the enemy facing him. And just like David, he did not perceive correctly. And when he had Ben-Hadad's company, he thought he was sure to win. And it was a win-win situation for him. Turned out a better man. And harming those who formerly would have supported him. So when you think of David, and you think here to trace the path of discouragement, he did not prioritize correctly. He did not perceive correctly, but he did not protect his mind correctly. Your mind, Christian, will be a target for the devil. And remember that our mind is a seedbed. And it is there where actions are born. And if you're discouraged tonight for any reason, and I know there are many believers who are, the devil will come along and he will plant thoughts in your mind that will almost certainly be thoughts that will take you away from the perfect will of God for you. David was losing out. He didn't think so in 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. He thought things were improving for him here all the time. He's well in. He hasn't been protecting his mind. His thinking is so different from what it formerly was. And folks, this all came about because discouragement came. In fact, if you look there in chapter 27 again at the beginning, he said, and David said in, or the word there means to. He said to his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. And then he says, there is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape. There was nothing possibly worse for him. Folks, gird up the loins of your mind. David here did not protect his mind correctly, but he didn't pray. In verse 1 of 1 Samuel 27, he said to his heart, If you look at chapter 23, he's seeking the Lord earnestly regarding the Philistines. There are several verses in that chapter that show us that he was a man who ultimately sought the Lord for direction in his life. He'd been in trouble before, but there's no sign of it here. God is left out of the equation. And later in the Psalm 25, he says there in verse 4 of that Psalm, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." David would have done very well to have had that attitude and frame of mind in 1 Samuel 27. And folks, as I've drawn your attention this evening to tracing the path of discouragement, remember the things that David didn't do. Things that brought him trouble and disappointment and discouragement. And tonight, we all want to remember the words of the hymn and try to put those words in prayer to the Lord every day. Jesus, keep me near the cross. I trust if you're feeling discouragement knocking at the door tonight, that you will not pursue the wrong pathway as David did, but that you'll cast your care again upon the Lord. May the Lord bless your thoughts to your hearts. I'm going to bow briefly in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the instruction of thy word. Thank you for God's faithfulness. And Lord, we rejoice tonight that your ear is ever open to your cry. And in every time when discouragement comes knocking upon the door of the believer, we thank you, Lord, that we can prove that God's grace is sufficient. He's more than a match for the enemy. And Father, we pray that everyone listening to this message might know victory after victory through looking to the Lord continually for that encouragement as they daily seek to live for him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.